Now for a complete change of pace, because we want you to start calling and telling us your stories about something else. If, like me, you've been working from home more, you might have had the chance to form some pretty nice habits, a little more time maybe outside, doing a bit of exercise, perhaps digging up some new recipes in the kitchen, playing with that. But you may also have noticed some bad habits forming as well. According to new evidence that's emerging, one habit we're struggling with more is our urge to procrastinate. And the reasons we procrastinate, say researchers, are much more complicated than we think. We're talking to one of the world's experts in the science of procrastination in just a moment, but we're also opening up the lines to you. What role does procrastination play in your life? And you'll be pleased to know it is not laziness. So don't ever think it's about you being lazy. You can get rid of that shame factor right now, which I hope means you'll be more encouraged to call. Are there parts of your life you just keep putting off? I'll get to that later. Oh, I must do that, but I'll just make a coffee. I meant to get to that and I will, but I just need to make sure I'm ready for that next step. Procrastination, ladies and gentlemen, we all do it. And I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours. You can be as serious or as lighthearted as you like on this topic. Don't procrastinate on this one. Call, okay? Make a decision and call me and tell me your procrastination stories. Don't be shy. I'm willing to share mine as well. Now, with me is this amazing scientist who knows quite a bit about this subject, because she and her students are doing a lot of research in this area. Dr. Fuchsia Sawar is a psychologist at the University of Sheffield in the UK. She's also the author of Procrastination, Health and Wellbeing, and she's one of the world's leading experts on the topic. Dr. Sawar, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Michael, and thanks for having me.
Now, you're in Canada, So you didn't procrastinate about living in the US. You just decided to stay in Canada. And I think that was a good move.
Yes, I'm in Canada right now. Procrastinating going back to the UK, but no, not really. But yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Now, I mentioned right at the front there, Fuchsia, that it is not about laziness. And yet so many of us, I think, condemn ourselves for comparing our procrastination to just being slack.
That's right. Yeah. And I think a lot of that comes from, Michael, the fact that a lot of times we don't always know what procrastination is. We think we know what it is, but sometimes we confuse it for your garden variety delay. And, you know, as a colleague of mine, Tim Pitchell, always says, all procrastination is delay, but not all delay is procrastination. Uh-huh. And so that's kind of the first thing I want to put out there, is it's a specific type of delay that is actually, you know, qualifies as procrastination, and that's the type of delay that we research and have looked into some of the harmful effects it can potentially have. And it has to be a delay of something that you've intended to do. So you said, I'm going to do this, right? So you've made an intention. And the reason you're delaying is it's not for a good reason. In other words, it's an unnecessary delay. It's not because you had another priority or an emergency that came up, or that somebody told you to stop what you're doing, or that you can't do that anymore and you need to do something else. So it's unnecessary. It's voluntary. And also, you know, on some level, because it's unnecessary and voluntary, and you've decided to put this thing off that you said that you were going to do, absolutely, right? You know, there's going to be some negative consequences for yourself or for other people. That's what procrastination is. And that's quite different from other types of delay, where we might make a wise decision to, you know, reprioritize our goals or, you know, delay until we get more information so that we can proceed at the point that we're really ready to get going with that task.
Now, on top of that, really accurate, and I feel a little bit exposed having heard that, because, and I'm sure many other people are too, because you've actually described there, I think, Fuchsia, exactly what's going on in our minds, but we don't want to talk about that in our minds. We even procrastinate about how we procrastinate. You know, we don't want to admit to ourselves that these kind of issues are going on. But I did say at the front of all this that there's some emerging evidence, which I think you've been involved with, suggesting that over COVID, when, you know, in theory, there's potentially so much more free time at home, that there's been a rise in procrastination. And why would that be?
Well, I think, I mean, and this is true. I mean, we don't have the evidence yet. I have a student of mine who's actually about to conduct some research to ask people if they think they've procrastinated more, during the pandemic. But the reason is not, I think it's not so much the free time. It has to do with the emotional atmosphere. And so, you know, as you said before, it's not about being lazy. And a lot of people think procrastination is about poor time management. But from our perspective and what the evidence says, this is actually about poor mood management. And so in a stressful situation, you know, such as, you know, living through the uncertainties of a pandemic, these even the most uncomfortable and unpleasant tasks become that much more aversive when you've got sort of a background of stress. You know, you're not really sure, you know, what, you know, if your job's going to be stable, you don't know when things are going to end, you're worried about your health. So you've got all that backdrop of anxiety and fears and concerns operating. And then that small task that maybe you would have been able to muster up, you know, the mood management skills that you needed to get going with it, you don't have those anymore because you've kind of reached your limit because of all the background stress. So that's one of the reasons that we theorize that there's likely an increase in procrastination in the current situation.
So I take it if you're just embarking on this research, it'll be fascinating to see as hopefully conditions ease when it comes to COVID restrictions, how people can compare and contrast between how they felt and how they feel now.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. And as people start to feel better and they're better able to cope, you know, and it is about coping with those emotions. And that's why, you know, we say procrastination is sort of an avoidant coping strategy, right? So when things get too much, right, we've got tasks that just feels really uncomfortable and you just can't bring yourself to, you know, manage those negative feelings, you take that task, you put it aside and you go, I feel great. I feel better already, right? You've just managed your mood by putting that task aside and not facing it. So when things do get better in terms of, you know, the pandemic and people are starting to feel that they can, there's not as much on their plate to cope with, it'll be easier also to manage those unpleasant tasks, which maybe right now might be a bit too much.
1-300-222-5576 is our number if you'd like to take part in this conversation on the Eastern States only at the moment. And with me at the moment is Dr. Fuchsia Sawar, who is a psychologist at the University of Sheffield in the UK, author of Procrastination, Health and Wellbeing. And what you've just described there, Fuchsia, is exactly why Rudy is called from Hobart. Rudy, I want you to confess, why are you calling us?
Michael, well, I just sat down after an hour and a half of procrastination to study for my math test at 2 o'clock today. And then I heard there was a number here to call to talk about procrastination. So I thought I'd procrastinate and call you up.
I feel guilty now. I feel terrible about this, Rudy. If I could help with the maths test, or Fuchsia could in any way, I'm sure we would. But I find this interesting. Do you enjoy maths? I mean, I take it you're doing this as further study.
Yeah, part of uni. Yeah, I do enjoy it.
And do you think you sometimes, and I want to talk to Fuchsia about this too, but do you think one of the reasons you've put off studying for the test at 2 o'clock this afternoon is because you love internally feeling the pressure of that deadline looming?
I don't know. Possibly. I can't say I like the stress of deadlines looming, just the stress of perhaps not understanding it before 2 o'clock. You sort of want to avoid for a bit.
And I don't want to psychoanalyze you too much here, Rudy, although I am tempted. I'm just thinking, are you fairly adept at maths and you know that you might be able to carry the day and then boast to yourself internally later, hey, I hardly had to study for that. Why would I bother even putting in the work?
I really hope my lecturer's not listening to this. No, I'm not a naturally gifted person at maths, though I do have to work at it.
Well, then stop, Rudy. Stop talking to us now. Hang up and go and study for the bloody test. Off you go. That's enough.
Michael.
Thank you, mate. Lovely to hear from you. Peter's from the Gold Coast. Peter, what have you been putting off? What have you been procrastinating about? Hello, Peter, are you there? Oh, Peter's gone. Okay, thank you. Let's go to Pam from the Sunshine Coast. Pam, procrastination, you found it to be a bit of a blocker in your life?
I've found it to be both. I kind of feel like there's two sorts of procrastination for me. There's like everyday things, appointments. I really put them off. Feel so much better when I do them. But the other one for my work, I find I procrastinate when I'm not sure. If I've I'm a ceramicist, so if I've designed something new and I've got some skills, but I'm not sure how to go about it, I'll dance around it for a few days and then I'll jump in. And I find it's actually, I don't fight it anymore.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Fiusha, do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, sure. I think there's two things going on. And so one of them, I think, is the uncertainty part. And a lot of people, including myself, you know, procrastinate when we hit a part of a task we're doing, we feel uncertain. We're not quite sure what to do. And that bit of anxiety and uncertainty is enough to kind of make us want to sort of push it aside. But there's another part of that, too. And it sounds like, you know, you sort of accepted that. And this, you see this a lot with people who are creative, is that sometimes if, you know, that uncertainty, maybe you need the idea to gel a little bit more. You need to sort of think about it. And so what can look like procrastination on the surface there is actually might be something we would call sagacious delay, because you're saying, okay, I'm not quite clear about what I want to do here. I need to sit with it for a little while and come back to it, and then I'll know how to handle it. That's actually making a wise and conscious choice to put something aside so that you can let the ideas or get more information and then come back when you're ready to do it. So I wouldn't actually classify that as procrastination, because it has a positive outcome there, right? And procrastination by definition does not have positive outcomes.
So Pam, this learning not to fight with this delaying while you process and problem solve sounds like it's a benefit to your creative work.
It is. I actually had to write about it when I was doing a course on creative industries. So I had to sort of face that then, and that's what made it gel.
I think we should be jealous of you. I don't think you're a procrastinator. I just think you're a creative person who lets things settle in your mind, come up with a way of doing it perhaps you hadn't tried before, and then you get on with it.
Well, thank you. But no, I really procrastinate in everyday life, but I'll tell my husband that.
Okay.
Well, it could be just those small things that you procrastinate on, and that's a different thing. That probably is procrastination.
Yes, it is.
Pam, thank you so much for calling through. Yeah. Fiusha, can I just come back to you before we go to the next call? Because it seems to me that you've made it very clear that if we use the word procrastination to describe behavior, it is inherently negative. You cannot be a procrastinator and have that be a positive part of your life. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's exactly it, yeah. And I know there's some misinformation out there where people say, oh, procrastination is positive for creativity. No, delay is positive for creativity, you know, as Pam just illustrated with her example. So, you know, there's a number of different consequences. You have feelings of guilt and shame. Procrastinators are very hard on themselves. They're very self-critical. It increases your stress levels. And some of the research I've done over the last two decades actually shows that people who chronically put things off actually experience more acute health problems and potentially even put themselves on a trajectory for the development of chronic health problems such as high blood pressure and heart disease.
Because they're actually self-stressing.
Yeah, they're stressing, and they're on top of it, they also put off engaging in those sort of health-promoting behaviors that might, you know, benefit them. And they also get very poor sleep as well because they are stressed.
About their lack of action. Right, okay.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
Paul's in New South Wales. Paul, tell me what you're up to in your life when it comes to this.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, I was interested because I'm autistic. And which might be a special case for this subject. I have in my life, I'll dedicate several years to a project and then not do all the other things in my life I'm supposed to do.
Right.
So that's my problem.
So you focus intensely on this one thing. And does that give you satisfaction when you do focus like that, Paul?
Oh, intensely. Intense satisfaction.
So, in fact, you're pushing forward in one area to the expense of all others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Fiusha, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think you've summarized that quite nicely, Michael. I think, you know, that is sort of just, you prioritize. He's prioritized one area and those other parts of his life are not prioritized. So, again, I think that's not so much procrastination as just sort of maybe over-prioritizing one area of life over others because – you know, unless you'd said, I'm going to do all these other things at the same time and then didn't do them, it really isn't technically procrastination. But it may be just more of an issue of needing to get more of a balance in terms of the goals that you have and prioritizing them way in a more balanced way so that you've got the one you work on intensely, but you're also able to move some of the other ones along even at a slower pace so that you feel that you're getting some other things done rather than that just that one intense task you're focused on.
And Paul, is that your inclination? Would you like to balance your life out a bit more in terms of that intensity?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think I should consider this issue that you're talking about.
Well, as Fuchsia said, it sounds to us like procrastination is not an issue for you because you do push on so beautifully with one project, but it's just getting all the other ones to be as important to you. But thank you so much. Really good to hear from you. Paul in New South Wales. Let's go to Tracy. I think it's Tracy. Hi, it's Trace. Hi, Trace.
Oh, it's actually Kate, K-A-T-E.
Oh, it's Kate. My apologies, Kate. Kate, now, you're trying to sell a house, is that right?
No, I was. In 2008, 2009, I bought a house in 2007. I bought it as an investment.
Yeah.
And it was a rural property, which was the first one I'd ever bought rural. But I was keeping a very close eye on the market. And in 2008, I knew I should sell that house. I really knew it. I had this gut feeling. And I kept sort of pushing it down because I'd only moved a year before, you know, in 2007. So I really just didn't want to move again. But I knew I should because the market was right. Well, I didn't. I didn't move. And when I then turned round later in 2009, 2010, and tried to sell that property, I got $300,000 less for it than I would have done before that crash in 2008, 2009.
It's haunting you, Kate. It's haunting you, isn't it?
It does, actually. But, you know, what I've tried to do, because I've got this theory that, you know, a wise person once said, I never lose, I win or I learn. So I've tried to turn it into a positive where I become aware that I am delaying something. I try to investigate in my mind, is there a good reason for this or is this just because I'd prefer not to do it right now? And that has helped. Now, I'm not going to say I get it right every time because sometimes I am.
So you've taken some learnings from this and therefore, you know, one would hope, Kate, that you don't have to do this again. And Fuchsia, is that a form of procrastination that Kate's just relayed to us there?
Yeah, it certainly does sound like it because she still has that regret from it. And we do hear this from people who procrastinate on something where it was, you know, a major, you know, type of action they could have taken. Certainly there, what was driving it was an avoidance of wanting to move. I mean, who likes to move, right? It's understandable. But, you know, the fact that it's still haunting there a little bit does suggest that there was some procrastination involved. But I like what Kate said about how she approaches it now. And I think that's a really good strategy, too, for anyone that is struggling with procrastination is to become aware of those feelings. Why am I putting this off? And keep asking that question until you drill down and you actually find the feelings. You'll find some emotional state, something uncomfortable, something, you know, unpleasant or something you didn't want to admit to yourself, maybe about yourself or about the task. Maybe it's something that you don't really want to do, you know, because you're doing it to please somebody else, for example. For whatever the reason, if you can get down and find out why am I struggling with that, that's a really good first step to become more aware of those emotions that are driving the procrastination rather than just trying to cover them up by doing something more pleasant or distracting yourself or just avoiding the task altogether.
Yes, that is good advice. Easier said than done sometimes, Fuchsia, but I do take your advice. Patrick is near Byron Bay. Patrick, what's going on with you?
I'm like your first caller, Rudy. I heard your program and I should be out there letting the chooks out. They're still locked up. I should be doing the lawns. I should be doing the laundry. The stuff's still in the washing machine. But I heard your program and I just lay on the bed. I said, this is right up my creek. I suffer really badly from procrastination, and one of the things I've put it down to is a fear of failure, because try to start every morning with, I'm 70, and I try to start the morning with 50 push-ups and 30 sit-ups, and I have this fear of not making to 50 push-ups every morning. And so I'll put it off. I'll go and make a coffee. I'll go and sit down and look at my phone. I'll go and look at the diary, which I should have done last night. And I don't know, is it possibly a fear of failure that is causing me to put things off? Your program starting at 10 o'clock is fatal for me. It's always something interesting. And so 10 o'clock, I should
don't
be
you blame us, Patrick. Don't you dare. You own your own procrastination. Thanks very much, my friend.
Well, I like not, sharing
don't
things
put
around.
It down to
I'm,
us.
I'm just like that.
I think Patrick's touched on something that is right at the heart of many people's procrastination future.
Yes, definitely. And fear of failure, there's numerous research studies that have shown that that is one of the driving factors in procrastination. It's a negative emotional state. It's this fear that, I won't be able to do it. Right. Or it won't be good enough. Right. So sometimes there's some perfectionism in there. And this can happen, though, too. It's quite natural for it to happen when we set goals for ourselves that may be just a little bit too extreme. So we see this goals, this big, overwhelming thing. I mean, 50 push-ups. That's tremendous. Like, who does that? Right. Rather than just saying, I'm going to start with 5. And if I get through the 5, then I'll go through 10. And if I get through 10, then you see. So that's one of the solutions that to sort of combat if you have that natural, sense of fear of failure for these large goals that you've set yourself is break the goal down into something smaller. Then it's less scary. It's less likely also that you're going to fail at those smaller steps, right? So you just kind of chunk it into more manageable bits that when you do the first 5 push-ups, you get that boost of confidence and you can go, actually, I can do this. So I'm going to go on and do the 10 or the 15 or whatever it is that you set yourself.
I like that. Peter's on the Gold Coast. And Peter, what have you been putting off for ages?
Yes, good morning, Michael and Fuchsia.
Morning.
Okay, my situation is I'm 55, allegedly single. I've got no ties, no parents, no kids, none of that. So I'm going to take a major change of life and jump into a 23-foot camper van along with a border collie and tour Australia. I've got the money to do it, thank God, just. And tour Australia, make video blogs and YouTube-y thingies and get my little jollies that way, do a lot of reading and writing. And I'm currently living in a motel paying $600 a week. And I've been talking about this forever, for years, and it's the last 6 months becoming critical that I get out of here. And I've got to get this damn van and get into it and get out of this motel. And I just... It's, as you can tell, it's a major change in life. Is there such a thing as justified procrastination? I've gone over every detail in my head, and I think it's the right thing for me, but it's still a big change in life.
Peter, it's not the right thing for you. It's the right thing for me. I will take your money and do it for you.
Hey, mate, I'm open for company. I'm not that completely unsociable.
Fuchsia, what advice can you give Peter?
I think, again, man, this is a big change. And so when we have, big goals or big changes, they're stressful, right? There's a stress. There's a sense of the unknown. And that sense of the unknown is very anxiety provoking. Even though you're excited about it, there's something about it, at the same time, you've got a lot invested in it. So it's very meaningful. And it's a funny thing because it's not always unpleasant tasks. I mean, you've got something here you really are looking forward to doing. But attached to that is, what if it doesn't go the way I planned, what happens if it's not as meaningful or enjoyable as I expect it is. And this is a completely different lifestyle for me. And how am I going to adjust to that? So there's a lot of questions and anxieties probably connected in there. And that's likely what's driving a bit of procrastination there. And I think, in those situations, it is tough. It's a big change. And it's sometimes you just have to kind of just jump in feet first. And as we often say, just do it, right? Because if you overthink it, you'll never get going with it.
Go and do it, Peter. We want you to do it. We all want you to do it. And saying it out loud to us, I think, is half the battle. I think announcing this to the world means that you want to change and you will. And then I want you to send us a postcard of you and the border collie on the road. Okay, it's been great to talk to you. Final call very, very quickly today, very quickly. Tabby from Orchard Hills in New South Wales. Tabby, what's your perspective on this?
My perspective is that procrastination makes everything so much harder. For me, I've kind of pinned it down to perfectionism. If I can't do it 100% properly from start to finish the way I want to do it, then I just won't even tackle it.
Yeah, and I think It just sits there as the thing you could do, but until you do it, of course, you're not a failure. So if you just keep it there, it's always the thing that could be amazing if you did it. But a great call to finish off with. Thank you for that, and thank you to all our callers and to our guest as well, Dr. Fuchsia Sawar, a psychologist at the University of Sheffield in the UK. Fuchsia is the author of Procrastination, Health and Wellbeing. That's Life Matters for now. We'll be back at the same time next time on ABC Radio National. I'm Michael McKenzie, and I'll talk to you then.